started tonight with the Word of God this evening. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, if you would do that for me. And you probably know this verse, but stick your finger there and then turn over to the book of Philippians chapter number 4. All right? And we're going to start in Philippians and use that as a springboard back to 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight. And I'm still struggling with my throat just a little bit. So I'm going to stick a mint in. And it's an actual mint. I don't know if you heard about the preacher who used to do that. He'd stick a mint in every Sunday, reach in his pocket, take a mint out, and put it in his mouth. And when the mint was gone, he'd close up the service. And one Sunday came along, and he reached in his pocket, stuck that thing in his mouth, and got to preaching. And 45 minutes went by, then an hour went by, hour and a half went by. People started wondering what was going on. After he preached for 2 hours, he started wondering what was going on. And he'd reached in his pocket. Instead of grabbing a mint, he grabbed an extra button out of his pocket and threw that in his mouth, and it wasn't going anywhere. So I promise it's a mint, and we will not be here all night, all right? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19 this evening, all right? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. And the Bible says right there in that verse, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And I did not know what Pastor was preaching on this morning. He did not know what I chose to preach on tonight. And I think they're going to work hand in hand tonight. But let me start here with this by way of introduction this evening. And then we'll have a word of prayer. And we'll read some of 1 Kings chapter 17. But when we first moved to Florida, I was standing with Pastor Brown, was the one that hired me. And he passed away shortly after we were there. But I was standing there with Pastor Brown one week. And a man came and asked him a question about tithing. And during that conversation, the man said this to him. He said, "I can't afford to tithe. I've looked at my budget, I've put everything in, and I just cannot afford to tithe." In response to that, Pastor Brown said this. He said, "You cannot afford not to tithe." And a lot of times I don't know how to explain it, but this has been true for me in my life as well. But as you look at tithing and giving to God, generally speaking, as you give, your 90% goes a lot further than 100% will. And as you obey him and you're faithful to what he wants for you, he will take care of the needs that you have. And so we're going to look at that tonight, look at this truth that God is big enough to handle everything. And so I hope that you will see that tonight as we go through this. And I often hear people say, when speaking about tithing or giving, that that was an Old Testament principle. It was something that was given in the law to Israel, and so it's not applicable to us today. But as I look at the word tithe in the scriptures, we see it given to Abraham before the law, we see it given to Israel in the law, and we see it given to the church in the New Testament. And so it is not just an Old Testament principle, it is a Bible principle. And tonight the message is not meant to be about tithing, so that was completely and totally free, all right? However, we do tonight want to look at, and I hope you will see together, that from the scripture, whether we're talking about tithing, whether we're talking about faith promise giving, or whether we're talking about just meeting and paying the regular bills that we have, we should see that God is big enough to take care of everything and every need that we have. I hope tonight you'll be reminded of the fact that the same God who spoke the world into existence, that same God and the same God who put the stars into the galaxies that we see every single night, that same God is the same God who cares about you, and he is big enough to take care of every single thing that you have need of. And so let's look tonight, let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll read some from 1 Kings chapter 17 and get into the outline tonight. Father, pray that you'd bless this message this evening, and Lord, may you use the principles that we see in Scripture to help us to apply some things to our life tonight, and that we would just learn, I hope from this, just to trust you more and more each and every day. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us open our hearts and our minds to what your word has for us this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to jump back to 1 Kings chapter 17 now, and if you're familiar with the book of 1 Kings, especially these few chapters here, you start to see the character of the prophet Elijah come into play. And so we're going to look at a couple things here. Chapter 17, verse number 1, Elijah the Tishbite steps on the scene and he pronounces a judgment from God, really, on Israel, and a prophecy that there is not going to be any rain, there's not going to be any dew upon the ground, there's not going to be anything, there's going to be a drought until he comes back and says God has changed his mind. And so we see that's going to take place for several years as that goes by. And as he steps into this, God takes Elijah to the brook Cherith and sustains him there by feeding him from the brook and having ravens come and bring his meals to him. And we find in verse number 8, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so we find the brook Cherith has dried up, and God is now moving Elijah to the next place in which he is going to provide for his prophet. And so in verse number 10, he says, So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she said, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And so we find here in this passage some interesting things. And let me give you this again, just finishing up introduction-wise, and I think there's some blanks in your notes for this. Where God guides, God provides. Where he leads, he will supply your needs. Worry implies that we don't quite trust God is big enough. And then be sure to trust the provider, not the provision. Brooks are going to dry up, but God never fails. And so as we look at this passage tonight, and we see here from 1 Kings chapter 17, God guides and brings his prophet to a second place as he's waiting for God to bring rain upon the earth once again. And he says, Go, I have prepared a woman and her son to take care of you. And Elijah shows up on the scene, and this woman does not know who Elijah is. She has no idea who this man is. He comes to her, and he says, Go fetch me some water. She has no problem going and getting the water. There's no question about that whatsoever. We don't see that anything about that in Scripture. She goes to get the water. And as she's going, Elijah tags that with, By the way, while you're going, on your way back, bring me a little cake too. And she turns, and rather than just going and doing what Elijah had said, she starts to question. Because she starts to say, Look, I don't have a cake. I've got enough for me and my son. I'm literally preparing two sticks to go and dress a little bit so we can eat what's left and then die of starvation. And he says, Go and do what you're planning to do, but before you eat your meal, I want you to bring me a cake first. The word first, if you look at it in verse number 13, I have that underlined in my Bible. And Becky and I have been endeavoring to teach Nathan, our son, that he needs to obey first and then do what he wants to do. A lot of times he wants to stop along the way and do things his way and do it on his timetable. And we're trying to get him to understand, no, you need to do what we're asking you to do first, and then you can go do what you want to do. And the same is true for us spiritually in our lives. As we see God working in our lives, there's going to be things that he's going to ask of us that we're not going to understand. And what we need to do is we need to trust God to the point that we understand, I will do what God asks of me first, and then after that, I will do what I need to do, and I understand that God will provide for me no matter how bizarre it may seem. And as you look through Scripture, we see some pretty bizarre things that God gives to His people to do. You look through the nation of Israel as they go into the Promised Land, and Joshua, and how many of you, as if you were part of an army and your military commander said to you, today we're going to march around the walls of this city one time, and then we're going to go home. And then tomorrow we're going to come back and we're going to do the same thing. We're going to do that 6 days in a row, and then on the seventh day we're going to do it seven times, and we're going to blow trumpets and shout. And the walls are going to come tumbling down. How many of you would say that's a great battle strategy? Right? We in our human minds, we would go, that is foolishness. But they did what God told them to do, and the walls of Jericho came falling down. And over and over and over again, you look at the life of Gideon, and Gideon takes his army in, and God dwindles his army from 10,000 to 300, and he says, by the way, you're not taking any swords into battle. You're taking a lamp and a pitcher and a trumpet. And as they break the pitchers and they shine the lights and they blow the trumpet and they shout, God makes the enemy kill themselves upon their own swords, thinking that they're surrounded. And again, we think to ourselves, that is the most stupid battle plan of all. Not only the battle plan itself, but the fact that you took us from 10,000 to 300 to do this. And yet, God's plan is always 100% the best way that we can do. And we've got to learn to trust Him. And so number one tonight, we're going to see that God gives through givers. God gives through givers. Look at verse number 10 again. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of the sticks, and he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little cruse, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And drop down to verse number 15. And she did, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. We see here, first of all, that God gives through givers. When we're willing to trust God and we are willing to step out on faith and we're willing to give, sometimes out of our want, out of our lack, God says, that's exactly where I want you to be, because you're trusting me. And I will provide for you the rest. I will provide for you the balance. You may not understand it. It may not mathematically make sense. But if you obey me first, then I will make the rest of it balance out and come to pass. See, she immediately went to get water for Elijah as he asked. But when he asked for her bread, she questioned because she did not have enough for him and her. She was willing to give what she knew she was able, but when asked for that which she did not have to give, she questioned God. She's questioning the man of God here in this passage, but she's questioning God by doing so. And much like Pastor said this morning, many times we don't understand how the giving thing works out, but we must give to God first. And as we do, we may not, you know, it may not necessarily work out in the budget. It may not be there for us to give when we look at the budget sheet. But as we obey God and we test Him, as we're told to in the book of Malachi, God says that He will pour us out a blessing. He'll open up the windows of heaven, and He'll give us exactly what we have need of. And so we see that here in this passage, that God gives through people who are willing to step out by faith and give as well. There are times when God asks us to do things that seem insane, that seem out of my control. I gave you some of those examples already. The things that seem that are not understandable or even unthinkable to us in our human minds. But when it seems When it seems like those things are true, that is exactly where God says, I want you to trust me. And that is where faith comes into play. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is by faith that we please God, Hebrews chapter 11 says. And so we understand that this is where faith comes into play. We read Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. If you go back a couple of verses before that, Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 says this, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And we find there that they did not necessarily have it to give, but they sent it to Paul because he had need, and they gave it to him anyways, and God provided for the people of his for the people of Philippi in their need, and he provided for them. Because they provided for somebody else, they gave out of what they did not have to give, but they gave it anyways, and God provided for them. So we see that God provides through givers. God gives through people who are willing to give first. Number two, we're going to see that God provides for those who give. He doesn't just give through people who give, but he provides for those who give. Look back at our passage here in 1 Kings chapter 17. Look at verse number 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first." That word there, although it's only five letters long, that's a big word. Because it requires what a lot of us struggle with. Our human mind sees to a certain point and we're willing to trust God. But when we get to a certain place in our life, our human brains and our human mentality takes over, and we look at what God expects of us, and faith doesn't always come into play, and so we fail to do what God wants. How many of you believe 100% that God will do what he says he will do? Amen. All right? How many of you believe that if God told you you could do something, you can do it? All right? New Testament, there's a great principle, and there's two places that this happens where God says, if you have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the sycamine tree, be torn up by its roots and be cast in the sea, and it will do it. How many of you believe that tonight you can go out and by faith pick one of the trees out here on the church property and say, go be cast in the sea and watch it happen? I only see a couple of, like, two hands are raised. Why? Because our human side of us sees a tree and sees it rooted in the ground, and we go, that's impossible. The ocean is 300-ish miles, something like that. I don't know. I didn't look it up beforehand. If I tell this tree to go and be cast in the sea or be cast even in Jefferson Lake, is that Cherokee Lake, all right? If I say that, and yet we still have an issue, why? Because we understand the tree is rooted in the ground. We understand if we started to cut that tree down and we started to dig out those roots, the work that it would take. And so in our human minds, we go, faith is not going to accomplish that which takes me that much work to do in my physical strength. But God said, if you have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, which if I was holding a grain of mustard seed in my hand, you would not be able to see it. It's small. Faith is a lot of times more difficult than we like to make it out to be. And we like to say here in church, I believe and I have faith, but when we go out of these doors, it's a lot harder to put that into practice. It's a lot harder to really truly believe that God will provide and God will do what he says he will do. And we see here in this passage that God provides for those who will give. When God commands us to give, or when He leads us to give, He wants us to do it first. He wants us to do it immediately, and He wants us to do it without hesitation. We tell Nathan, you need to obey first thing, right away, with a happy heart. And he's gotten pretty good at saying that, less good at actually accomplishing that. At least all three of them at the same time. He'll obey sometimes right away. He'll obey sometimes with a happy heart, but not right away. Somewhere in there, the whole circumstance gets messed up. But what God wants of us, we see this here in this passage. Look at verse number 13 again. Make me a little cake first and bring it unto me. And then go and dress it for you and your son. That first is difficult for us as human beings. We want to do things our way. We want to do things in our time schedule. We want to do things the way we think that they should be done. But what God wants is for us to do them, do what He wants first, then He will provide. He wants to know that we're willing to obey, that we're willing to step out on faith. It's the same principle of the children of Israel, the priests, as they started to go into the promised land. And God said, I want you to walk across the river Jordan. And the priests had to step into the river before He parted that river and dried up the ground. But as soon as they touched the water, the ground was dry and the water was parted. He wanted to see their faith. He wanted to know they were willing to take that first step and obey. And then He was going to bless and do His part and fulfill the promise He had given. There may be times in your life that tithing doesn't make sense. Giving 10% of what I have after the government has already taken their 20 to 30% now, it doesn't make sense to us mathematically, right? And we look at the budget sheet and we go, how am I going to do it? How am I going to survive? But just like that pastor I mentioned in Florida, he said you can't afford not to. Because obedience has greater blessing and greater privileges than just doing our own thing and disobeying what God has said in His Word. And so when God requires that we tithe, or He asks for us to tithe, He expects us to do that. And He expects us to do that first. We've gone over this with teenagers in different times and talked about tithing, and they say, well, that's when I get my paycheck, right? So I look at my paycheck balance, and that's what I tithe off of. How many of you understand that's not 10%? The government's already taken out theirs, and so we are missing part of what we're supposed to be tithing on. God requires it be the first fruits that we tithe off of. And churches are full of people who are good givers. They're not good tithers. They'll give on a weekly basis when they're here, but they don't make up when they miss. We have people that will see a need, and they will give to that need all day long. But when it comes to them on a weekly basis taking that tenth that God requires, we have issues. It got quiet in here again like it did this morning, didn't it? Again, this is not necessarily meant to be about tithing, but God will provide for those who will obey and give. So as we give and we're obedient to God, God will take care of us. So giving to God and His work is something that if you choose not to obey will greatly hinder God's blessing, if not remove it altogether from your life. God told this widow to give to Elijah first, and if she did, then her and her son would have enough to eat. But only when she gave to Elijah first. If she had chosen to eat first, I wholeheartedly believe that even if she had given something to Elijah, the barrel of flour would have ceased and the oil would have not existed. Because she did not obey as God required of her to obey. Galatians chapter 6, 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The giving principle is when I give, God will give back. And it doesn't always come in the form of financial payment. God's blessing oftentimes comes in other forms. If you have good health on a regular basis, that is God's blessing upon your life, maybe because you are obeying and you are giving as God has required of you. God does not always fill up your bank account. This is not a health, wealth, prosperity type of a gospel that we're talking about. But as we give, God has promised to provide for us and provide for our needs. And so we see that here. Philippians chapter 4, we read these verses already, 4, 16, and 17. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. They received because they gave first. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. See, several times in the New Testament, you see widow woman that gives, I'm messing it up now, the lady with the two mites, right? And she comes and she gives out of her lack. She gave all that she had. And so there's giving principles all throughout Scripture as we see this principle. God will provide for those who are willing to give, and they're willing to give first. Number three, where God guides, God will provide. Where He guides us, where He takes us, where He places us, where He asks us things to do in our life to be obedient to Him, God will then provide for the needs that we have as we're obedient, as we're following Him and accomplishing the purpose that He has given to us in our lives. So what about Elijah's choice to obey God? He had made a choice to trust that God knew what he was doing when he told Elijah to go to Zarephath and be sustained by a widow in the first place. Now, hopefully this would not have been too big of an issue for Elijah because he'd just been sustained by ravens in a brook for 3 years. So hopefully this is not too big of a deal for Elijah to go and obey in this circumstance now. But we find Elijah taking this step and he is obeying. Look at verse 15. The Bible says here, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Elijah had to go for all of this to take place. If Elijah had not obeyed, none of this would have happened. The widow would not have received the blessing that she did. Her and her son would have eaten the meal that they were expecting to eat, and they would have died of starvation. And so we see here that there are consequences for our disobedience when we fail to follow God and we fail to do what He wants us to do. He cannot bless and He cannot provide in ways we do not fully understand when God sends us somewhere or asks us to do something. And so as we're following God and we're going on the way, we need to understand God has other things in His plan that we may not fully see or we may not fully understand when He asks us to do those things. See, as He went to Zarephath and He's being sustained by this widow, this is the whole thing that God started originally when He told him to go to the brook to be fed by those ravens. It wasn't until he went to the brook and trusted God that God then revealed the next place of blessing. If Elijah had not obeyed and gone to the brook, he would not have gotten instruction to go to the widow. If he did not do the brook and then go to the widow, he may not have gotten instruction for when the rain was going to come and where he was going to then confront the prophets of Baal and with Ahab and Jezebel, right? And so all of this is compounding one thing on another. And whatever God wants for you to do, no matter how insanely crazy it may seem, He will meet your every need if you will obey Him and trust Him in that obedience. This includes your career choice. This includes the things that you do on a daily basis as far as your moral choices. This includes, for the young people here, this includes what college you're going to attend to. This includes who you choose to marry. This includes how you set up and lead your home for those of you who have kids and have that family age group in your leadership, right underneath of you. This includes those of you who are helping to lead this church. All of these decisions that we are making is included in the fact that I still have to obey him for his blessing to be here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where's your treasure tonight? If you were to go to pastor and you were to give him a list of the last week and where you spent your time, I bet pastor could look at that and he could tell you pretty clearly what your priorities are. Or where your priorities are not, but maybe where they should be. Where are your treasures? Where are you spending your time? What are you doing in your life? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you." God 100% desires and wants to bless your life. He wants to give you things that we cannot even begin to think or imagine in our lives. But it requires first that we trust him and that we step out in obedience by faith to what God has asked us to do. And that may seem strange, and that may seem bizarre, and that may seem out of place to us in our human minds. Maybe the more strange it seems, probably the safer the place is for you if that's what God has asked of you. Let me give you just a little bit of a personal example. Becky and I just moved to Tennessee from Florida. We took a little bit of a pay cut. Cost of living is different here. Housing market's about the same. But as we came, Pastor could tell you this as well. Pastor asked us, I think the second day we came when we visited, and he said, "Do you want to know what your salary package is?" And I said, "No. We'll decide that after we decide if we're supposed to be here or not." And so we didn't do that until after we had given him a yes that we were coming here to Tennessee. Because it's not about the money. It's about what God wants for us and where he's leading us and what he wants us to accomplish. And God will provide for our needs. And I don't mean that to brag on me or to point to me, but what we need to do in our life is we just need to understand that in everything that we do, no matter how strange it may seem, when we told people in Florida that we were leaving, we were going to Tennessee, there were some looks given to us. There were some people that thought, "This is pretty strange." There were even some times where Becky and I probably looked at each other and said, "Are we crazy to do this?" My parents go to that church, right? But where God guides, God will provide, and God will bless if we will step out by faith and trust that he knows what is best. And so may I encourage you tonight that no matter what it is going on in your life, whether it's bills stacking up as you've gotten in this new year, whether it's maybe as we're looking towards global focus and you're praying and you're asking God, "What do you want me to do for faith promise?" And maybe God has put a number on in your heart and in your mind, and you're thinking to yourself, "That is absolutely insane." But maybe God just wants to see whether or not you're willing to trust him and see how much he's going to provide and bless you this year as a result of your obedience. And so let's just step out and trust God and believe that he knows what is best and that he will provide for us and take care of us every step of the way. Let's stand and we'll pray tonight. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, may you help us tonight that we would step out by faith. Maybe even that would include stepping out and coming to this altar tonight and just asking God to help us to live every single day by faith. And Lord, may you do a work in our hearts that we would trust you no matter how strange or how unthinkable the things may seem that you're asking us to do. But may we trust you that you know what is 100% best for our lives. And may we follow you, and may we see you provide in great and special ways and be able to give you all the glory and all the praise for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Would you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight as the piano begins to play? And would you just come tonight, if God has spoken to your heart, would you step out and say, God, you know what? I have been struggling. There are some things going on in my life where I don't fully understand what it is, but I just need to trust you. Maybe you'd come this evening and you'd say, you know what, God, there is some financial things going on in my life, and I just need to trust that even in the midst of what I feel like is a struggle, where I'm looking at cutting things back, I understand that I still need to put you first and give what you have required first and see where God meets the needs as a result. Maybe that's you and you'd like to step out tonight. Maybe you just need to step out tonight and say, God, I just need to trust you more. And I just want to put my faith in you, and I want to continue in this new year trusting that your way is perfect and your way is best. If that's you, if any of these things, if God has spoken to your heart, as pastor comes to close the service, would you come and ask God, just deal with him. If God has spoken to you, don't wait. Just come and say, God, this is what you've spoken to me about. Help me to do this in my life. If that's you, come while the piano plays as pastor comes and closes.
Amen. Thank you, Angie. That was a good message tonight. And I can't avoid saying this. He had no way of knowing, because we didn't discuss it, what we looked at this morning in our adult Bible study fellowships. 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 15. Now, somebody in our church didn't get it this morning, and you're here tonight. It may have been your pastor. There were a lot of things in that message tonight that I had no problem saying amen to. And then there were a couple of those things that were said tonight where that was for me. I don't know how long it's been since we've had two messages from the same passage of Scripture on the same day. But God's speaking to Faith Baptist Church, and I'm thankful for his sensitivity, for Kenny's sensitivity to what God would have him speak, even more so than fitting in with the sermon this morning. It was hand in glove for our adult Bible study fellowships tonight. That was a good message this evening, and I'm thankful for it. I'm really happy to tell you that Sarah and Emily Rollins are coming to join our church tonight by statement of faith. I've talked with Sarah and Emily. Both of them have been saved and scripturally baptized. They came here at the invitation of Mina Blaylock. Mina works with Sarah, and they've been visiting now with us for several months. And I'm so thankful God's brought them here, a joyful mother and daughter, and we're thankful that we get to serve the Lord together. So if you're willing to receive Sarah and Emily tonight, based upon their statement of faith in Jesus Christ and the fact that they've been scripturally baptized, would you raise your hand and say amen?
Amen.
Now do this. Say amen.
Amen.
That's for Emily. Come and greet them tonight if you would. Introduce yourself to them and pray for them. God's adding to the church, and what we don't want, and listen carefully to this, we don't want people to come and feel for the next 6 months that they're strangers at Faith Baptist Church. So get to know these families, all right? Let's get to know them. Fellowship with them. And let's see what God does as he continues to build our church and continues to add body parts to the body. Let's see how we can serve God together, all right? I want to close tonight in prayer, and I'd like to do so with a special emphasis in our prayer. David and Stephanie Peach are leaving tomorrow morning to fly to Arizona. They've got a trip. Oh, no, they're not flying. My bad. We talked about this yesterday. He's crazy, but he's driving to Arizona. I'm like, David, Arizona, that's almost to the, it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there, right? Which, that's California. They're leaving tomorrow, driving all the way to Arizona, ministering on the way there and on the way back. But they're going to be gone from us for a month. And I'd like you to commit to praying for them while they're gone, certainly for God's safety on the road. But then as they have opportunities to preach or teach or just to edify people who are serving in the ministry, let's remember to pray for them, okay, while they're gone. And let's be mindful of their absence and what God might be able to do through them. Preaching a few times, preaching at a camp.
But a couple of deaf services and Spanish services. I don't think I'm preaching in English at all.
Oh, okay. Sign language and Spanish for the whole trip. Good. And we don't know where Stephanie's preaching, but we'll pray it goes well too. Thankful for the Peaches. Let's pray for them on this trip. And welcome Sarah and Emily tonight as we're dismissed in prayer, all right? Father, thank you for your word. I'm grateful that you put the story of Elijah's encounter with this widow woman in the scripture, because there are, as was seen tonight in this message, there's so many things from us to learn, not only from Elijah, but from this woman who at first doubted and then she saw how great your faithfulness is. And Lord, in our lives, help us to live in such a way that we're willing to give you everything, but we're also willing to see how you add the meal and the oil every day to meet our needs. So please don't let this be something we miss. You've given us this passage of scripture twice today. So whether it's me or it's others joining me in learning what you have, Lord, impress these things on our heart. Help us to adjust the way we live and then see what you can do through people who fully put their trust in you. Certainly, thank you for bringing Sarah and Emily Rollins our way. And I pray that your blessing would be on them as they meld into this church and we begin serving you together. May we do so in a way that brings great glory to our Savior. I thank you, Lord, for David and Stephanie and the blessing they are to this church. And I pray for them as they travel that you'd protect their trip, that you'd help other drivers around them to be safe, help their car to run well. Lord, every chance that Brother David and Stephanie have to minister along the way, would you use them in a way that pleases you? And I know that on a trip this long, they're going to have, Lord, opportunities that they're not yet anticipating. And so when those opportunities arrive, divine appointments pop up, may they be ready to be used by you in whatever way you choose. And I pray, Lord, whether it's the deaf or the Hispanics that they minister to, that they would be pointed to Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunities we have this week to serve you. Help us not to miss them. And we look forward to joining you again in your house on Wednesday together. And Lord, I pray that in everything we do, just like was preached tonight, we would remember that you're completely able to take good care of us. So may our trust and our rest be in you. We pray in your name. Amen. God bless you, church.